Welcome. This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, this is the show. This is it. Call Gregory. He's a financial Hall of Fame financial advisor. I forgot that little adjective there. Hall of Fame financial advisor, ready to take your call. 504-260-0995. No, I'm just here to help you wrap your head around the goofy financial news and what's going on with your money while you are out being busy today. Again, 504-260-0995, or you can give us a call or send us a text message through the Winning at Life app. And man, Saturday show, a lot of good texts off the app for us, and we'd like to keep that streak going. We have the podcast up. It's also on the Winning at Life app or winningatlife.com. But I want to do a follow-up from the first thing we talked about on the show Saturday, and that was one of these. This is not a mainstream. This is kind of a kitschy anecdotal economic indicator, but steaks are going through the roof. Record supplies and record purchases of steaks and gains for the cattle industry. They all kind of portend that, you know, things must be getting a little better here in America, because the first thing we do, and we've seen the studies here, the first thing we do when we have a little extra spending money in our pocket, we eat out more. It goes to our stomach first. We eat out more, and when we go to the grocery store, we buy more premium stuff. That's where the first bit of disposable extra income goes. So to follow up, Gregory, was there a steak in your Labor Day weekend?
Friday, Saturday? No, there was not.
No. Oh, wow. Okay. And my follow-up here is I would like an update on the Gregory Ricks quest.
When did the Labor Day weekend start?
Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Any of those 4 days, if there's a steak involved.
There was not a steak.
All right. Well, I want an update on the Gregory Ricks quest.
I was expecting to have a steak Saturday evening on where I was traveling to spend the weekend.
Did you not go? Did you cancel that?
It was raining every day.
It was bad. Yeah,
I'm with you. We have better weather since there's a hurricane in the Gulf.
Right.
Our weather has drastically improved. Well, we've got an emergency. We've got to watch. Got to be careful. Well, it's not quite a hurricane. It's a tropical storm. But I was expecting a week ago when I made the plans, I looked at my iPhone weather. Yeah. And it showed where I was headed, sunny, partly cloudy, Saturday and Sunday. I said, well, that works for me. Get some time on the lake. And so we approach this weekend, and it's just raining every day, and literally is raining every day. I call my sister that lives up there, and she says, yeah, it's raining right now. It looks bad. Sent me a picture of the front out the windshield over Jeep, and it looked ominous. So I didn't go. Now I'd like, this was a good time to leave and go.
I tell you, it was funny. I chuckled because I came in here belly aching because the kids had to stay home from school. School was canceled today, and you pointed out, yeah, this is the first day it hadn't rained in like 2 weeks, and they canceled school today. They kind of have it backwards here. This is the best weather we've had.
This is the best weather. At one of my team members I spoke to at noon today, and she was, you know, the weather's going to be bad. Everybody's up in arms. You know, it could be bad. I said, the direction you're headed home is opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, here on the weather, there is nothing. She is my commuter. She drives about an hour each way to work. But I said, there is not going to be an issue for her. I still close the office early, but it was like no emergency. There's no rain. We've got better weather
than we've had since mid-August.
It's been longer than that. We've had some, this has been, was a rainy August, but won't complain because it kept the temps down. This morning when you walked outside.
80 degrees.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
It was like, wow. Okay. So, yeah, there was no steak. You know, I kind of parceled that out. You know, I don't have steak several times a week. I'll have some cod and I'll have some catfish. I mix up the types of food that I'll eat. I'll eat a few salads a week. I don't get carried away on eating salads every day. But, you know, now I'm overdue for the steak, and a good one at that.
All right. I want an update on the Gregory Ricks quest for the ultimate chicken sandwich.
I've not went round two
okay.
with that, but actually I, you know, my testing and what I experimented with went really well. There's a couple other procedures I want to do with that to brine the chicken, verify the temp. I went and bought a frying thermometer to make sure I get the temp right. Because otherwise you're just turning on a fire and, oh, this thing looks hot enough, and you drop the food in there. So there's a couple of things to tweak.
Yeah.
Just like my cacio e pepe, the pasta base. I'm going to recreate that again this week. I want to get that perfected because you can do so many things with this. Now, with a fried chicken, and what James is referring to, I cook boneless thigh meat because that's what the chefs were like. Oh, you want something with great flavor, cook that. And hey, it was good, but I don't know if I throw that on top of my pasta that I'm going to cook up. But you know, so many things can you do with fried chicken, boneless fried chicken.
Yeah, there's a limit.
Yeah.
And
we were looking for a good chicken sandwich when you need one.
What was that word you said? Like, I don't even know what you're saying there. Cacio e pepe or something?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a pasta. You use some olive oil.
How do you say it in English, though?
I don't know.
Because I'm like, son, what did you just say?
It's like that brioche.
I don't know. Are we saying it, Angie? Is that right? Brioche? Brioche? I think it might be brioche.
Brioche.
Brioche. See, every time I say it, you correct me on it. Brioche. But that was some great bread with the chicken sandwich. So it's not necessarily just the chicken. It's, you know, it's a spread that you put on the bread. The lettuce and tomatoes got to be fresh. And then having that French bread was a bit different as well.
Okay, but before we jump into finances, though, you just looked at the radar. Describe to the guy that's driving down the road, because he can't look at the radar, what you just saw. Where's this storm going?
This storm looks like it's headed into Mobile. It could jog a little bit to the left, where they still have that cone going towards Biloxi. But what I'm seeing as the eye of the storm is right there approaching the Mobile Bay area. So we could still get that little weatherman talk here, jog to the left, mm-hmm. but it looks like it's going in and it's not going to make hurricane strength. And all the rain bands are on the eastern side. To help you with that, that's the Florida side of the United States, of where the storm is going in. It's moving fast, so I don't think it's going to stall anywhere to lay down a ridiculous amount of rain. But those on the eastern side, Florida Panhandle, Alabama, you're going to get some water.
Yeah. Well, it's good it's moving fast, too, because the longer it chills over the warm Gulf, it hangs out over the warm Gulf, it picks up more energy.
They still have it going left, you know, kind of at that 45-degree angle, running up through Hattiesburg and then going further up and then kind of hanging a right and move on through Tennessee, something like that.
All right.
But, yeah, here in southeastern Louisiana, it's lovely.
Yeah, well, for our Mississippi listeners, it could have been a lot worse. You're going to get a little wet. But
well, that's what I was thinking about Gulfport and Biloxi. You know, they've got a curfew. The casinos had to close.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Oh,
there goes
come on
the
now.
GDP for a day or two mm-hmm. of the Gulf Coast. You know, they do more business than I think Russia does along the coast.
I wouldn't doubt it. Wait, weren't they close to that? Didn't we
got some numbers on that? Yeah, it's close.
All right, now let's get to the finances. 504-260-0995. Scott in Mandeville, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Scott?
I had a tax question for you. My mother passed away today, and I just found out that I'm the beneficiary of a life insurance policy. Okay, so I know it's tax-free to me, but my sister is the one who took care of her, so how can I transfer that money to her and still have it tax-free without her having a tax burden on it? Because she deserves the money. It just so happens that my mother put it under my name.
Sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you.
Scott, I know it's tough. I lost my mother about a month ago, so never easy to go through these events. Yeah, you're right. Life insurance is a tax-free death benefit. How many siblings do you have?
There's five of us.
Five of you, but you're the named beneficiary. None of the other four.
I'm the sole beneficiary of a life insurance policy. Yes.
Yeah, I think this is more of an estate planning question, because if it was just you and her, just simply put it, you could probably take a pass on it, then it goes to her in that case. However, there's other siblings, so it's not that easy. How much life insurance are we talking about?
It's $150,000, but she's been sick for a while now, and we've all talked about it, and we've all talked about she deserves all the money.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I don't know. I would like to. Wes Blanchard is the estate planning attorney that's a member of our Total Wealth Authority. I think you should have a conversation with him. And tomorrow,
okay. I'm a client of yours already, so that's okay. You know. Just figured I'd call you.
Call the office tomorrow, and let's see if we can get you a phone appointment set up with Wes.
Okay.
And you can have that conversation to see what direction.
Okay.
That you can go with that and help out with that. So once again, Scott, thanks for calling the show. We, you know, thoughts and prayers are with your family at this time.
So sorry about that, Scott. All right, 504-260-0995. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can call Gregory. Give us a call or also a text message from the Winning at Life app. Still coming up, we're going to hear the caller of the week from the Saturday show. Charles in Mandeville is doing some in-kind required minimum distributions from his IRA. And ask Gregory about it. You'll hear that next. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap. We do it every evening at 7. Live financial radio. We'll take your questions. Maybe it's a tax question. It's could be about your 401k. Could be about a variable annuity. I had a couple in today, and they brought in a couple of annuities and number statements and all for a visit, and I kind of was referring their annuities as variable. Oh, no, we don't have variable annuities. And he pulled it out and said, yeah, actually, I've already looked at it. Oh, and then I flipped it open and showed him right where it said variable annuity in there. The conversation was looking at that he was going to annuitize it, but it has an income rider. And then he knew what his number was going to be. But then I asked, well, is that with spousal continuation? And I looked at his wife. I said, if he moved on first, wouldn't you like the checks to continue? And she looked at him and said, yeah, I want those checks to continue. Oh, we also had a conversation about the windfall elimination. It's going to affect her. So because a mixed career working for the state and working for another firm, so you've got years invested in both. And I told her about the calculators at ssa.gov that you can go there and kind of work through the math of seeing what's your decision going forward. Because this is a good time to ask about that. She's planning to retire in about 8 years. So it's just, what do you do? How's that going to affect? Because she said, well, the spousal benefit from her husband is more than her earnings record. And I said, you really need to find out how the windfall elimination provision might affect you. So gave them some homework to do on both sides of that conversation. If you'd like to have a conversation, I might not can get that deep with you here, but we can give you some guidance. What direction do you need to head? 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. On Saturday's show, yeah, we do a show from 10 to 1 live financial talk on Saturday as well. And I think the last 30 minutes of the show, we were having rapid fire emails, texts from the app and calls. And yeah, so yeah, it was a busy Saturday there, especially that was kind of where it flip-flopped, not so many calls, but a lot more texts to the show with questions. 504-260-0995. If you'd like to reach us through that app, just go to the app store and type in Winning at Life. It's a free download, one-time login.
All right, for the sake of the integrity of this entire show, just take 30 seconds, issue a quick correction here, Gregory.
I was reminded by my wife, Stacy, that two of the triplets joined us for dinner Saturday since we didn't leave town. Mm-hmm. They said, hey, we're running by. You know, they're LSU students, so they jumped down the highway there. And, yeah, I grilled prime fillets.
You had a steak.
I had a
you
steak.
You did have a steak.
I completely forgot about it because I was thinking about what my plans were, and they were changed. So, yeah. So.
All right, here it is. The caller of the week from Saturday show. Charles Mandeville, you're going to be first up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Charles?
Hello.
Hey.
I have an IRA, and I'm taking an RMD from it. And it's an individual stock I'm taking out of it in kind, not in cash. You know, now I'm not selling it first. I'm taking it in kind. And what I want to know is, what's my cost basis, the day I take it out or the day that I bought it like 100 years ago?
It's the value of when you take it out.
It's the value when I take it out.
Yeah, there is, on qualified money, there is no cost basis when you're selling. You can lose money in it, and there's nothing to write off. Now, when you're looking at your positions as an investor, you like to know, this is my cost basis, and this is how much I've made. Now, that's an important part of investing, is know where you are in profit on positions. Was that a good buy or a bad buy? From the IRS standpoint, it's taxed as ordinary income. So they don't care about your cost basis because it's going in pre-tax or even tax deductible. You may have some after-tax money in an IRA, for example, because it wasn't deductible because of income. But there's no capital gain or basis. It's coming out as ordinary income. So whatever you're moving out in kind is the cost and the value of that distribution.
May I take it one step further?
Okay.
If I take it out, you know, and it's the day I take it out is the cost basis, then if I sell that stock and I had bought it many years ago in an IRA at a much higher price and I sold it after I took it out, therefore I can claim a tax credit on that. Do you see what I mean?
Okay. I'm a member of the Ed Slot Elite Advisors organization, and we do quite a bit of study and classes every month and such. But I'm going to pull from one of his technical experts here, and we're going to talk about this. When individuals take withdrawals from their IRAs, it's usually a cash withdrawal. By cash, we don't mean dollar bills. Instead, it's usually done by issuing a check. But it's possible to take a non-cash withdrawal from certain IRAs. These non-cash distributions are known as property distributions or in-kind distributions that Charles is referring to. Some IRA distributions can be taken as non-cash property distributions. Let's say you're 70 and a half or older and have been taking required distributions from your IRA for several years. You've probably taken your RMDs in cash. You likely sold or liquidated an investment in your IRA, let's say shares of stock, and had the custodian send you a check for that amount. But you do have this other option. So let's assume you're 75. And your RMD this year is $8,700. You could ask the custodian to distribute $8,700 worth of property from your IRA. This could be advantageous in some situations. For example, maybe your IRA holding shares of a certain stock whose price has grown whose stock price has gone down a bit recently, but you think the stock will rebound in the future. If you sell, liquidate that stock inside your IRA and have the custodian send you a check for the $8,700, you'll never see that price rebound because neither you nor your IRA owns the stock anymore. Instead, you should consider having the custodian distribute $8,700 worth of stock to you, the value at the time. The stock will be distributed out of the IRA in kind, which means intact, to you and must be valued at its fair market value on the date of that distribution. You still own the shares and you can keep them in a non-IRA brokerage account. You've satisfied your RMD by taking $8,700 worth of distribution. The custodian will send you a copy of IRS Form 1099-R showing that you took a 8,700 distribution and you report that amount on your federal income tax. So that way you're resetting your cost basis for the future when you're wanting to sell that stock at a later time.
Okay. Just one quick question more. And that is,
okay,
so if I took it out at the current price the day they send it to me, and just say it's worth $20 a share. Now, if it goes up to, say, 30 and I sell it, I'm really getting taxed twice on that money. Once when I take it out and once when I sell the stock that's appreciated, right?
You're not being double taxed. You're taxed twice because of the distribution is one time, but then that stock grows. You're going to be taxed on that new growth because you set your cost basis at $8,700 because you've already paid the taxes on it. And if you sell it at, say, $10,000, that sets your gain at $1,300. So then you'll pay a capital gain on the $1,300 if you've held it for a year or more.
Okay. And that works the same way in reverse. If I lost money after I took it out, I get the claim it against other income.
Now, that question, I would go more to the tax guy, but I don't think you can take that as a loss.
What about after it comes out? I think it's after.
Yeah, we're getting really deep into the tax because it's rarely done, and that would be handled by our CPA on the team that handles clients' taxes or your individual accountant. I'm not going to give tax advice on that, but I say that is a question mark, and we need to make note of that. When is Jude back on the show?
2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll discuss that with him when he's back on the show in 2 weeks to get a clarification, because that's a really good question there. But that's like recouping your taxes from an RMD. I don't know the rule on that. I'd be afraid to delve into that area. I might on the break get a little bit of information and come back to you. If I can find out something, we'll talk about it when we come back from the break that's coming up here. Does that take care of you, Charles?
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's a great question. Thanks for calling.
All right, so that's the caller of the week from Saturday's show. But about an hour and 15 minutes later, we got the answer from Jude, but you're going to hear it in 4 minutes. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can still call Gregory, 504-260-0995. The conclusion from Jude Heath to Charles next. We're winning it live with Gregory Ricks. Hey, how you doing? Happy post-Labor Day. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker, and you are listening to your wallet's favorite show. And if you don't believe me, just ask him. We'll take him out of your pocket so you can hear his answer. But then ask him, and he'll say, yeah, Winning It Live. Love that show. 504-260-0995. We just played you the call of the week from the Saturday version. We do the 6 days a week, Monday through Friday at 7. Saturdays, we're on 10 to 1. Catch all our stuff on the Winning It Life podcast. And you're going to get a treat, because when we did this on the show, I mean, you heard him. The guy just kept asking question after question, going deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, we were digging down in it until finally we hit some bedrock. And we're like, all right, well, be nice if we had Jude Heath to give us an assist. And so we have the bat signal. It's like the bat signal, but instead of putting a bat up there, it puts an abacus. And so that's when Jude calls us. And on the show, it was about an hour and 15 minutes later down the line. But hey, with the magic of MP3s, we can hear them back to back. So here is the stunning conclusion to Charles and Mandeville's issue of taking in-kind RMDs. He was taking stocks out of his IRA to satisfy his required minimum distributions. And we're getting into some of the nuance of how that works and affects his taxes.
Jude, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, thanks for taking a few minutes from your, is it a busy Labor Day weekend or a relaxed one?
Actually, it's just a couple of weeks before September the 15th, so it's busy, but it's good.
Okay, well, thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Sure.
Two things I want to bring up. We're going to come back to Charles in just a moment, but we were talking about David Stockton and
Stockman,
and he was talking about the tax breaks and such. And one of the things when I look at it from a simpler way, and I'm going to ask you your thoughts on my opinion, but where we've got this corporate tax rate down to what, 20%, basically.
21, I think. Is that right? Jude, 21? Well,
it's not 21 yet. What we talked about a couple of weeks ago when I was on the show with Tax Reform 2.0 is that is the intent of the administration is to move it down one more percent this year.
Okay. So what was being said, and they're talking about all, you know, this effect and the write-downs and all that long description, but the tax savings is going to be on retained earnings, money kept within the company, right? It's not money they're paying out as dividends. Expenses are pre-tax. So it just depends. Well, does the company have money to hold on to that they want to keep and pay taxes on internally?
Yeah, so the tax reform, if you just look at the tax savings, the drop in tax rate aspect of tax reform, then yes, presumably most of that would be kept in retained earnings, but some of that cash, they could raise dividends. And that's more your bailiwick than mine of whether they make that decision. But if they choose to raise the dividends, then obviously, you know, that would be taxable to the shareholders.
Right, to the shareholders, not to the company. Now, if they're doing a stock buyback internally, are they being taxed on that money internally that they're buying the shares back on? Or is that an expense to the company?
That's after tax money, if that's your question.
Okay. So, yeah. So this, maybe the big guys like Apple and such, that's significant too. But a lot of companies that don't carry, or just start piling up money like the Fords, the Apples, and such as that are making profits. We got a lot of companies that have ridiculous numbers
cash
because
their
cash flow, but they just don't make money, actually.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different conversation there. Okay, that's really helpful. Now, Charles called in, and he talked about in-kind distributions regarding his RMDs from his IRA being over 70 and a half. And it brought up a really good discussion because we don't normally talk about that much, but most people are taking cash distributions. But he was talking about stock, and I gave him a scenario that if you take $8,700 in kind from that and stock, it's really easy to get that valuation on the day of retitling of that stock to your after-tax account. And then we clarified that, and we'll get your backup on this, that then later, if he sold it for $10,000, he's then going to have a capital gain tax on that $1,300 in gain if he had held that stock longer than a year. But then he fired back with a question that what if that $8,700 goes down in value? Could he write that off since it's not inside the IRA any longer?
Yes. He could. The way that works is once it comes out of the IRA, the value that you pay the tax on establishes your tax basis in the stock. And okay. So that's the beginning value for gain, and that's the beginning value for loss, whichever way the stock goes.
Yeah, I wouldn't commit to it on the air at the time of this conversation. I thought like you, but I didn't know if there was some rule since it was tied to an RMD distribution that Uncle Sam might not let you go back and take that write-off in there. We don't never want to lose money on a stock, but if it just happened that he did that, because you would do that because you're thinking it's going up, not going down in value.
Right. And the bigger question, and I didn't hear the phone call, so I don't know if y'all asked him this, but is he in a self-directed IRA situation that he's got an IRA with stock holdings? Did y'all get into that?
He was speaking of, he was referring to actual stock. So it could well be a self-directed account, but more likely a brokerage account at a firm is holding his IRA and the stock in it. But if it was, like you brought up, a self-directed and it's not stock, maybe it's coins, you know, gold that was minted by the Treasury or something else that he would need to get an appraisal on, he needs to get that done inside the calendar year of the RMD, right?
Yeah, you and I talked about that, I guess maybe a half a year ago on the show, is that, you know, the problem with the self-direct is where you have, you know, not easily appraised or easily converted to cash was, you know, how can you get enough cash on these assets through the years to meet your RMD requirements?
Yeah, because otherwise you've got a 50% penalty on what you were supposed to take that you didn't. And that's where
when
people are buying real estate inside of their IRAs, you can't just say, well, take that wall of the house and move it outside of the IRA. It's not
going
to work like
that.
Right,
it has to be cash.
Yeah, it has to be cash. So, yeah, you kind of touched on that a little bit. Awesome. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he is. So we helped him out a lot today. And the other listeners that probably weren't even aware of these rules of in-kind RMDs that are possible depending on what the holding is. But have a great Labor Day weekend, and we'll see you. I think you're on in 2 weeks.
Yes, that's right. Y'all have a good Labor Day weekend as well.
Okay, Jude.
Thank you, Jude.
Take care.
And that's the great Jude Heath. And look, that's to fill out what happened the rest of the show, we actually did address each member of the Total Wealth Authority throughout the show. We had an interaction with Dwayne Stein, Alicia Nugent Freeland. The realtor was our guest. That was Jude Heath right there. And then Wes Blanchard got a mention in the second to last segment, or it might have been the last segment. It was our last caller. I think that was the last segment. So we did the full rounds. If you're new to the show, Total Wealth Authority, Gregory Ricks is sort of like the Superman of it. And this is the Justice League to handle all financial aspects. So Dwayne Stein is our mortgage guy, mortgagegumbo.com. Alicia Nugent Freeling is our realtor. Wes Blanchard is our estate planning attorney. And then you just heard Jude Heath, who is the CPA, and he's the guy who goes after taxes for us. And as you can see, that can get pretty complicated. Required minimum distributions from your IRAs. How common is that? Do you see the in-kind distribution? Because that seems to make things a whole...
It's rare because we mostly in IRAs are dealing with annuities, stocks, ETFs, mutual funds such as that, bonds as well, where you can turn that to cash. We've really not had requests of, hey, I want to shift this stock to the other account for that purpose. Typically, we're always having some cash on hand to do that. Some large accounts, when they're up in age, can get to be quite a bit where you have a RMD. Yeah, your RMD's $60,000. Your RMD's $80,000.
Wow.
So you have some of those. But typically, you know, then we're talking about some pretty big accounts too. Million, 2 million, 3 million. So you think about that. If you're holding 5% cash in a $3 million account, you've got $150,000 on hand. $2 million, $100,000 on hand. If not, and I'm just giving you 5% numbers, but it, you know, depending on market performance and timing of trades and stuff, yeah, they could have as much as 10% on hand. If we know the RMD's coming, and we do, we will have raised cash to do that. They don't have an emotional tie like, oh, you can't sell this stock. They're about the value, not the stock.
If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Gregory's going to knock you over with some crazy student loan debt stats next. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning It Life. This is the Daily Wrap. Live Financial Talk Radio. In kind. You know, what we were talking about last segment, you know where that's typically seen mostly at is self-directed IRAs, those that have, you know, like the gold in their IRA, which we know if they have gold in their IRA, it was minted by the U.S. Treasury. Because that's the only metals that qualify in IRAs is those that are minted by the U.S. Treasury.
I was going to say, or they screwed up.
Well, then there's a bigger problem coming as well. So you might see some in-kind there, but there's self-directed IRAs with real estate holdings, and, you know, chopping up your house doesn't quite work, doesn't get it done. And if you're not wanting to sell that gold, for example, you're having to do an in-kind shift of that. But still, if you don't have liquidity, how are you paying the taxes? You calling the treasurer up, can I send you some gold bars back? You know, it's not going to work there. This generated a pretty good bit of interest. People going to college. We have a, it's a train wreck, and it just keeps piling up. And it's basically, what is it? It is totally out of hand, and it's going to affect the GDP. It's going to affect our economy. It's going to affect industries like housing, mortgage loans, car buying. Lisa Nugent Freeland, a member of our Total Wealth Authority. Keller
Williams, you got it right.
Okay, just want to make sure. It's like, pause for a second. Didn't want to get that wrong. She said the effect of student loans, meaning these young people coming out of school with all this debt, is delaying house purchases by 8 years. That is tremendous. Well, that means they're not borrowing money either, which is affecting the mortgage business out there. It's a domino effect. Well, then it's affecting furniture sales, curtain sales. Oh, those lawnmowers, they're not being bought either. And they're not breaking and being repaired either.
Yeah.
You know, it could this be affecting having kids and family as well?
Absolutely. Another thing
is affecting. Or is this going to be, you know, gosh, she was great looking, great girlfriend. But once she found out I owed $70,000 in college loans, she dropped me like a hot potato. You think it might be affecting that?
It's definitely, we know it's affecting that.
I was on a few years ago, I was on an airplane heading somewhere, and a lady next to, we got talking about students and loan debt and such, and she, her daughter had just graduated from Ivy League school, got a top-notch job, needed to because her debt was 100K.
Whew.
And her marching orders to her daughter was, do not marry somebody with college debt like you have. How about none would have been the march? Oh, do not marry anybody with college debt because you've got too much. Yeah, could you imagine her hooking up with somebody else with $100,000?
They wouldn't be able to buy a house for the next 15 years.
Yeah, so here's the number. It's $1.5 trillion. Now, you know, you hear conversations about, you know, oh, we need to wipe that off. Look, our nation's debt is what? $21, $22 trillion. Okay, let's just forgive that and add that to the national debt.
Yeah, we can
that's
go wrong.
That's crazy. That's increasing debt by 5%. We as a country can't afford that. Then, well, I paid my own way. Don't I get my money back? You know, this is not something that is going to be a quick fix. And let's go through some more stats here. Total, once again, total student loan debt, $1.52 trillion. Total U.S. borrowers with student loan debt, 44.2 million people. Delinquency or default rate, 10.7%. That means they're 90 days plus delinquent. Total increase in student loan debt in the most recent quarter, $29 billion. This is some outrageous money. They're had a caller on Saturday show. They were talking about this. They're just living the life. They're enjoying it through college, and that's not the way it's supposed to be.
But that's,
gotta have a Beamer. Gotta have my own apartment. Gotta have my kegs.
That's the natural result when you make access to cash that easy.
New, and they define it as this: the total increase in student loan debt in the most recent quarter, $29 billion. New delinquent balances 30 plus days, $32 billion. We had a caller on the show a week or two ago, had credit card debt and college loan debt. And they said, you know, I want your advice. I'm thinking about filing bankruptcy. Well, it's not going to make that college loan debt go away. Ranked by state, California has $120 billion balance of college loans. Texas is next at $92 billion. Number 10 is North Carolina at $38.2 billion.
So that just basically looks like it goes by population of the states there.
Yeah.
Do the age breakdown, because that's where I fell out of the stool.
Yeah, this is crazy. As of 2017, here's the breakdown of student loan borrowers by age. Under 30 years old is 16.8 million.
All right, stop right there, because the total number is 44 million. And so under 30 was how many, 16?
16.8 million.
So we still have 28 million people.
Yeah.
All right.
And they're all older than 30. So we go 30 to 39 million, 12.3 million.
All right, so what does that put us at? 16 plus 12 is 28. So we're about halfway. Half of our student loan debt, people are over 40?
40 to 49 is 7.3 million.
Okay.
50 and up. You ready? $8.4 million. 50 and up.
You mean 8.4 million borrowers? You said dollars.
I'm sorry. Yeah, borrowers. 8.4 million. Of those.
Let's break it down.
60 and up is 3.2 million borrowers.
When you said 60 and up on the show, I'm like, this is going to be like 100,000 people, right? Maybe 500,000, maybe.
Well, it's 100,000. It's more than 100,000 people that owe more than $1 million. Remember, we covered that a few months back, orthodontist.
I think it's soon to be that number. Yeah, yeah,
because it's kind of a breakthrough at that. It's just like all of a sudden it's escalated. Just over a few years, there weren't but a few, and now there's a lot there. But 50 to 59 is 5.2 million borrowers. 60 plus is 3.2. You're going to see people's Social Security checks garnished because of their college debt.
Yes. To the person who's staring at the radio, yes, Social Security checks can be garnished if you have outstanding student loan balances. It's happening to a few thousand people right now.
Now, how do we fix it? You just can't turn off the spigot once it's been flowing there. And being this money's been available, you've seen all these universities expand, build big buildings and such. I don't know how you fix it, except I think it probably should have limits based on your degree field. If you're in humanities, you're probably not borrowing much. You're in engineering, you borrow could borrow a decent amount. Of course, physicians, dentists, I get to borrow more.
You're going to think I'm crazy. I think turning off the spigot is the thing that needs to be done, and needs to be done immediately. Now, everyone who already has a loan.
Well, then you're really going to put universities in binds, because all of a sudden a lot of people are going to quit going to school.
That's the point.
There's layoffs, closing of buildings.
That's exactly the point.
Well, it just.
If you want to increase.
Heck, that might cause a daggum recession across the country. I don't know the impact of that. I just know the debt's a problem. And you're giving 18, 19, 20-year-olds the chance to borrow money, and they're not wired for what is the down road effect of that. But I'll give you this one number. Unemployment rate, July 2018 for Americans with at least a bachelor's degree was 2.2%. If you didn't have a college degree, it's 4% unemployment.
How can you start saving for retirement if you hadn't paid off your college? You got clients that are still dealing with student loan debt? I bet you have to have a few somewhere.
Yeah, it's rare in our clientele. Employees, about half of them have college debt.
They're about to start coming in,
Gregory. If you'd like some help, daytime job, financial advisor, finder of where you are on the path, 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. See you tomorrow.